5 hours. Please. Kiss me.
Welcome to Buffalo's Kill, the ultimate Buffalo Kill podcast, where we discuss the kills, and the bloody kills of our national treasure, Buffalo Kills. And in our discussing, we try to glean whatever kernels of wisdom we can out of the buffalo we killed that week. I'm Donnie, and with me are two other people. What are your names, people?
Oh, this here is Adrian, here to talk about the killing. Always looking to talk about the killing. Just crush a squirrel or something, step on a snake. Just kill something. Thereabouts. Yeah, don't know about this third person, though.
Yeah, who this lady be?
My name is Linda, and I just dropped out of Harvard. I'm wicked. I got a wicked hard-on for killing and trapping beavers.
God damn it, Linda, You go back to Harvard right now. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. What do you think you're doing? You don't listen to what a man says.
I'll do what I want. I'm from Harvard.
You think you could just come here from Harvard, huh? And go out on that hunt and miss this house and this house and come straight for you? Do you think that's okay, huh?
I'm going to be a man.
You think you're going to be a man? You're going to be a boy is what you're going to be. Listen to me, sucker. This is McDonald here talking. You think you could just go out there and hunt the buffalo and get cut in half by a bear trap and just be jitterbugging all night after that? You think that's fine?
Golly, that sounds fun. Wicked
you think
fun.
You could just get VD from some local whore and have everything be okay? Is that what you think?
I'd like to sign up for that, yeah.
You know, back in my day, we didn't want anything and we got along just fine.
I know what y'all are thinking. And no, it's just me. It's not a man from Harvard. It's not a young man from Harvard. That was the power of voice acting.
She's a Harvard cheese.
I'm a buffalo cheese.
She's got a buffalo. this week we're just here to talk about buffalo. There's no movie.
Yeah, how much do y'all love killing buffalo?
Welcome to Buffalo's Kiss. But wait, we were also trapping beaver.
Oh yeah, well we know the sign of the beaver.
The beaver.
You remember when Beaver fell out, right?
Oh. Speaking of which.
In the fall of 64, I was trapping Beaver up in the Colorado Territory.
That's me. God.
I want to believe he says that to his wife nightly.
I bet people have heard him rave that on the streets of New Orleans nights with two bottles in each hand.
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie.
Actually, that was something else. Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's something I was actually talking to Linda about recently, where I was imagining, like, the Jean-Claude Van Damme film with Lance Henriksen, Hard Target.
Oh, yeah, Hard Target!
Yeah, that's but we were we talking watched. About... Well, exactly. And I was talking to her about how much I would really love to pay Nicolas Cage to hunt me. Like, Nicolas Cage is just doing, like, the deadliest game, and he's just hunting humans down.
Yeah.
As he did.
And this came about because we were talking about a documentary about an asshole who was torturing people in haunted houses that he was putting together. And I was just talking about how, we were talking about how stupid the people were for doing this and wanting it to happen. But I told her, honestly, if Nicolas Cage said he wanted to hunt me like a feral pig... And he would pay me if I let him, I would. Because I just liked the visual of Nicolas Cage just, like, possibly on cocaine, just going hog wild and screaming, "Here, piggy, piggy," trying to hunt and kill me.
I'm pretty sure that's how he actually got paid for having done Honeymoon in Vegas, was in people hunting. And, you know, the rumor got out around Hollywood, and that's what the John Leguizamo movie The Pest was based on.
And
And honestly, it's very likely.
Yeah, Julian Sands heard about it, and he was like, Mike Figgis, you've got to check this guy out.
Hast thou not been baptized?
I too wish to hunt people, Mr. Cage.
And I was telling Donnie that, like, obviously Cage would, like, start it off, like, give them the head start while he's singing Welcome to the Jungle over loudspeakers, because that seems right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, it would be really fun if on the set of this movie, we're talking about Butcher's Crossing, by the way. I was just thinking how wonderful it would be if he was a character actor and he's just going around with like a spitballs in a little straw and he's like shooting cast members randomly with spitballs going, "You're a buffalo. I just killed you." Or just even worse, just telling him, like, over 6 million buffalo were killed in the Wild West, and there's only 300,000 left in the world.
That's why
remember that buffalo.
I was saying that toward the end when they're like, "He's gone crazy." He's and so I said, like, "No, that's just they just happen to be rolling when people were saying that he's method acting."
William Fichtner walks in a spacesuit and says, "He's got the buffalo madness."
Yeah, I was gonna say, I hope someone said he went buffalo crazy.
Like, his wings are freaking wild.
So yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Like, what are we covering today?
Oh, we're talking about Miller's Crossing.
It's so respectable. It's based on a book. That makes it fancy. Yeah.
Just like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Part 3, part 1, which is part 4. 50
Shades of Buffalo. But this is Nicolas Cage doing his second Western. And it's a bit more believable, but still it's all right, I guess, compared to his last Western outing.
Compared to his last Western, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
you can really comfortably say that. It's like, well, you know what? It ain't the old way.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was good. It wasn't great, but I mean,
not great.
Yeah, it by no means, but it was enjoyable. I mean, I was expecting shit, and maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much, because, like, the bar was so goddamn low to begin with.
Well,
and
like, what did we watch last? Like, The Flash and The Old Way?
It's not generally a great sign when you have a movie that opens with directed by Gabe Polsky, written by Gabe Polsky, makeup artist. Gabe Polsky.
Gabe Polsky, by the way, who's mega world famous for having produced Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. So
another return to form.
Yeah. So, hey, Gabe Polsky, quit while you're ahead, buddy.
He did also direct the Aretha Franklin movie for National Geographic, which is, I enjoyed it. Once again, not great, but...
No,
not bad.
I kind of think Nicolas Cage dodged a literal bullet, because normally there's a point some actors reach and then happen to die when they all do as their last film a shitty Western
for TBS.
And for some reason, a lot of actors, when they get to this age and point in time, they do a shitty Western. And that's what people end up remembering them the most for in their shitty repertoire of movies.
Wagons East!
But, not only that, we also have the Chris Farley movie,
that's
too.
That's what I was saying, Wagons East.
No, that was Among Hero.
Matthew Perry one's Almost Heroes.
Yeah.
They are Almost easily Heroes. Confused.
Yeah, because, well, they're both fat men that died, tragically.
Oh my God! But,
I feel like that was kind of the old way for Nicolas Cage, but then he's like, no, wait, I can do better. So then he did this one. It's like, well, gosh darn it, Mr. Cage, you actually put some effort into this one.
You did
not
do
great, but
better.
You did do better.
And I'm sorry, I'm a liar. He was a producer for genius, the Aretha Franklin.
Oh, see, he goes again, producing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get in here and produce more quality buffalo hides for me already before I yell at him some more?
Yeah.
No, we don't have a public restroom. No, we don't validate parking. Get out of here. Oh, your family took me in when I had nothing. Oh, look at you. I don't know you.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That honestly, guy was a buff diver.
Yeah.
That guy was the main character, right?
You can talk about this movie as in you're reviewing it as well, because it's just, it's a very typical story about a kid who's like, I want to experience life, and I want to go and do the
hunt. I don't know if I'd say kid, but like he's like 20-something?
He's a
kid. Fred Herbinger.
Hetchinger. It's Hetchinger.
It doesn't. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. His date of birth is disputed.
Well, so that's he's immortal.
He's a 2B.
And yeah. He's what?
He's immortal.
He's a 2B. He was born from a tube.
Oh, that's why.
A 2B.
Yeah. But it says it just says born either 1998 or 1999.
They can't decide.
I was born in 1999. I'm just a baby. I'm not one of those old gross people born in 1998. Yeah, ew.
But he is considered in the script and how they treat him as an inexperienced boy, kind of like Chris Elliott in Cabin Boy. It's like, even though he is very obviously a grown man with a beard, they still call him a cute little boy.
Yeah, he rolls into town just sort of blinking at everything and being like, my beard gives excellent back rubs, ma'am.
Yeah.
I've got to ask.
And he looks at all these buffaloes that are dead and he's like, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be a man.
What a beautiful world.
Yeah.
What is it? There's nothing quite like the inside of a child, like the outside of a horse.
Oh, the charity thing inside of the Sherry's. It's like it was some kind of charity where they get kids with horses, and it says there's nothing better for the inside of a child than the outside of a horse when it gets all up inside your child. Is what we assumed that meant. Because
Mr. Ed, you've got some explaining to do.
It was right there.
Oh,
you couldn't take 5 more minutes to formulate a better thing. Like, yeah, oh yeah, we donate for that over on the Hands On Children's Museum.
Yeah, I love that museum.
Well, it's kind of like that. I think it was the UK that had the campaign on their subways that said, "Help us cut the homeless in half." It's supposed to be about the homeless problem.
That's what happens when homeless go on the Buffalo Party. They get cut in half, and then we'll see who's laughing.
Ma'am, what are you doing with that samurai sword? I'm doing my part.
Margaret Thatcher said.
But yeah, basically, it's just this college kid drops out of Harvard and decides, I want to become a man and experience life. I want a hooker, and I want to go hang out with
and
men
some blow.
In the forest, and I want to kill buffalo,
and
I want to cuddle naked next to men to keep warm during the winter.
That's what I think about when I want to be more manly. I think I'm going to go to Kansas.
Yeah.
What's manlier than Kansas?
Yeah.
That's what they call a three-cage night.
Oh!
So was it just... I'm trying to decide if it was like something weird with a camera or like my theory is that
like they didn't know how to use the camera.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You're talking about how everything looked like it came straight the fuck out of the box.
Well, no, I'm talking about so I don't know if it's his body or if it's the clothes, but the kid, the young man,
Hetchinger.
Hetchinger. If he's got if he's built like a horse jockey.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're saying he ain't no man, he's a boy.
Well, no, because there's in the beginning they show him walking up to McDonald's shack, whatever.
No, just say McDonald's. They're not gonna sue us.
But he's walking up to McDonald's.
The bitter old man is named McDonald's.
College boy.
What kind of toys do you have?
Yeah, you weren't getting no Blizzard. Don't go.
You got anything
that
special for a boy from Harvard? My accent is spot on.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can we take your buffalo, Maura?
You don't know what's in that meat. Hey.
I'd like a buffalo nugget.
My buffalo burger's got kangaroo in it.
You can get some fresh fried and breaded buffalo testicles.
Mm-hmm.
That'll put some starch on your pecker.
Yeah.
There's a lot of balls in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of severed balls.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, when they show him like walking up, he I don't know, he's just it looks like he's like slender, got like a slender,
very lengthy
yet short, like, well, slender yet short stature. It's weird. I don't know.
Maybe a forced perspective, like a hobbit.
Do you think they were trying
that's
to?
That's what I was thinking.
To
he looked almost like a hobbit.
Thing. Like they were trying to make him look more young and inexperienced by like making him like in semi-Mennonite type clothes. Or
that's
something.
How I took it. Yeah.
Would you be surprised?
But I don't know if I messaged you guys this, but I wrote it someplace. I'm like, this was a film not made by filmmakers.
Yes.
Where it's like, if they had any aspirations to do anything, they didn't really think too long on those things.
No.
You know, like this wasn't Sergio Leone, this wasn't Stanley Kubrick, this wasn't Federico Fellini, this was this guy.
Gabe Polsky.
Gabe Polsky, everybody.
Again, that's why I said it's just a very tried and true type of story, and it's just they didn't really do it that well. They still told a story.
They did tell the story.
Yeah, it's just not really that interesting. It has moments that are really good, but overall there's just not much, there's no real meat hanging on the bones.
Yeah, those balls.
There's no buffalo hair on those testicles.
Whereas many Cage's movies, we were crying and screaming for them to be shorter. This one probably should have been a little bit longer if they really wanted to adapt this, you know, for real. Because it's trying to be this big story in this big setting, you know, and like it's about, you know, humans dwarfed by the elements, you know, and like hubris and all this stuff. They do it in 107 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like a movie on fast forward. They're like, oh, I got to watch this movie on Netflix, but I got work later, so I'm going to do it at, this many percent speed. Ah, there you go. It's going much faster and the voices sound funny now. I'm satisfied I've seen it.
In the beginning, when he's like reading out his email or his email, his
McDonald's,
his letter to his dad about leaving Harvard. Am I the only one who got a feeling like that they were explaining why we had to get into the podcast?
Pretty much.
I think we have to see the world.
Mom and dad, I know that you got me that job where I made like $1 billion a year and everything. You got me that mansion, but I'm going to be a hobo. So later, I guess, you know.
I mean, I did have that experience where it's like in my head, it's just like, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to join Linda and her friend and do a podcast. What sounds swell, son? What's it going to be about? She said Nicolas Cage. But why?
Why can't you do
it? I don't rightly know. A podcast I just want to experience
about
the world.
Ghosts, like all the respectable neighbors do.
Why not just do true crime? Crime is sexy.
True crime with some ghosts. Donnie, think of your future. Yeah.
We got to see the world. We got to see the cage. I'm going to pay someone to train me how to be a cage hunter.
I'm not even doing a bit. I look at my freaking DVD cabinet and Blu-rays, and right across from me, I can still make out perfectly from the lettering, the boy in blue. And knowing that I own that, just staring at it, I get this 1,000-yard stare, just looking at it, thinking how much shit we've gone through.
We have. We've come a long way, baby.
I only know I own that one when I close the bedroom door. It's hidden the rest of the time.
Oh, I got to share something funny. So at my work, one of my coworkers was asking Oh, no. She obviously hasn't listened to our podcast because she was saying, how does Carlo feel about your obsession with Nicolas Cage? Do you have like a hall pass?
Oh my.
I had to laugh because I was like, oh no, 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 no.
You should have told her, screw your hall pass.
it's not that kind of thing.
I know.
I was making a reference to A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I know.
What inning is it?
What inning?
Bottom of the seventh.
Somebody was knocking.
Oh.
Who's on?
But first? Yeah.
I know the series are going to try to break in, guys.
Migrants. But yeah, this is a movie about a boy wanting to experience life, killing buffalo, being manly with manly men, and how they lose themselves against the elements. And Nicolas Cage kind of goes a little crazy unexpectedly for whatever reason.
And kind of so does everybody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the thing is he kind of goes crazy with greed and just like lets his greed drive him.
It's like, yeah. I could kill like 600 buffalo or I could kill 600 million buffalo. I could do either.
I could kill all the buffalo.
they go to a valley and they're like, you see all those CGI buffalo there kicking up all that CGI dust? My word, what a sight. I too am impressed. Here, let's begin shooting them. But Mr. Nicolas Cage, you missed when you shot that buffalo. Ah, your youth and inexperience. I have shot that one in such a way that he don't even know he's dead yet. The fuck you said?
He will die by tomorrow morning, I assure you.
Indeed, the fuck I say.
I mean, God.
Behold,
even that,
word is dead now.
It's really sad because I actually had hope, and I hate that because the movie did that to me.
How dare you give me hope?
At first, it's like, okay, it's kind of campy and cheesy with the opening, and it just sounded like the opening to a Ken Burns documentary.
Watch it with the and cheesy talk.
It's yeah, just one of those help. That it was like, okay, I see where we're going. I know where this is heading toward. But then when you have Nicolas Cage deliver his line off camera, it's like, oh my God, there he is. He's there. It's not a grand opening entrance for him. He's there.
He's just sort of there.
And it's like, he just had this really kind of gruffness to him. That's like, oh, I'm interested about your character. But then when we see him later, when the kid talks to him, he's like, oh, it's just an average person. It's like there's just nothing really there.
Oh, are you new in town? Wide-eyed young man. All right. Well, just give me your pitch. You know, I've got a few minutes here while I'm over lunch.
It was such a huge difference from the you don't want to have any part of that, son, to then, oh, hey, how's it going? Would you like my hooker? It's just such a wild change. And then when they're at the campfire, again, it's just three guys hanging out. And it's just kind of like, I'm the crazy one-armed guy that believes in the Jesus. And
I believe
by the way,
Xander Berkeley.
Xander motherfucking Berkeley.
From Barbed Wire.
This is his fifth time acting alongside Cage, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we've got The Rock, Leaving Las Vegas, Kick-Ass, and Seeking Justice.
Oh, that went all wrong.
Yeah. it's funny because like I had to look it up because I remember him being in four other movies with him, but I couldn't remember which one it was.
For a moment there, I thought he was the guy in Looking Glass, and I remembered it was somebody else. Mm. Oh my God, you know what Xander Berkeley's first movie was?
Your mom?
Mommy Dearest.
Oh, yes.
He plays the adult Christopher.
Yes, he does.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I had to look it up last night and I was like, Seeking Justice. Is that the one that I had to miss? And then
Hungry Rabbit Jumps.
Then I had to remind myself. I guess I successfully blocked it out of my memory.
It was the cell phone movie. Remember? Hey, no cell phones in the chess club. My cell phone can say fuck you for me. I don't have to say fuck you with my mouth.
Oh.
Guy Pierce will fuck you with his mouth. That's seeking justice.
Seeking justice.
It's been a long road.
Getting from there to here.
Yeah, that's what Count Bakula said.
So, this was a movie, and
it even went to a whole theater in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, well,
much did it happen to make?
It opened at number 22, so you know that's very illustrious. Worldwide gross is $15,648.
Oh my.
And I bet this movie cost at least that much.
That's possible. Yeah.
This opened behind stuff like Exorcist, Believer, and the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. And Saw 10.
One of those made a lot more money than the others.
Yeah. And The Equalizer 3. Yeah.
Damn.
And a bunch of stuff I've never heard of, but we're used to that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
The guy who plays Fred, Jeremy Bob, is also in, he plays Alec Pelley in The Outsider, and we just happen to have been watching The Outsider. I think we just watched the 8th episode after watching this last night.
Jeremy Bob is Linda's age. Ooh.
Is he really?
Yes, he is. Linda and Jeremy sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
K-I-L-L-I-N-G-U-F-A-L-O.
I have to say that I'm very, very happy that he kept that majestical mustache in both.
I was really hoping you were going to say majestical testicle, but that's something I really want to coin.
No, I have to, majestical's been my thing lately because of the Hunt for the Wilder People.
Majestical testicle, that's my favorite Elton John album.
Majestical testicle.
Cage don't have no hair in this movie. Not on top of his head.
Yeah, he's all bald. His head out in the yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense for the winter time. Like
he looked like a peen.
It was to make him look tough. That was the thing. That's why I didn't really care for how Cage ended up acting in the film. Because when you first see him, he did look kind of gruff and tough, but they also layered him with so much buffalo fur that he just looked three times his size.
Oh, it looks like he come from Russia. He comes from moose and squirrel.
He honestly reminded me of Al Gore in South Park when he's dressed as Man Bear Pig.
Half man, half bear, half pig.
Yeah, he's half buffalo, half Nicolas Cage.
I have to say that I do not condone the hunting of buffalo or most creatures for that matter.
I don't think we can hunt buffalo anymore.
No, I'm pretty sure you can't. But I do condone the hell out of that coat.
I think the movie wanted to make it more than clear that they don't condone no buffalo hunting with the numerous text things at the end where they're like, Oh, this thing was just a movie, guys. Oh, I guess we could go.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking of the Simpsons when they killed all the buffalo during that Treehouse of Horror episode with Lisa Appleseed.
Oh, yeah. Buffalo testicles.
Yeah, and I just kept laughing. It's like all the damn dead digital buffalo you see, and they're just playing it off like, oh, this is so cool. Look at how fast he is and how efficient. And it's like, yeah, I killed about 300 buffalo. We're going to kill an entire herd. It's like, but you'll have to leave those here for a year. That's just crazy. He's like, well, fuck you. That's what we're here for. We're doing it.
It's cold out. They'll keep.
And again, it just reminded me of Homer. It's like, we don't have to worry about killing buffalo. There's plenty of buffalo. And the next day, like, we killed all the buffalo. It's like, wait, there's one left. And he shoots it. It's like, we killed all the buffalo.
Much like Snakes on a Plane was just a Saturday Night Live sketch drawn out to feature length.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I going back to sort of clumsy filmmaking, am I the only one who caught that, like, he has, like, in the beginning, he's got one match that he lights his pipe with, and then they close up and they're showing three matches, which he just tosses over his shoulder and, like, sets fire to the whole place.
Yeah. He wanted to make sure you were paying attention.
Yeah, that's it.
And there's that great stirring musical score by Leon Byrenberg here. That's like every musical score ever. You know, it's like, oh, you're doing that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, oh, okay. So you just hit that demo key on that Casio when that came out. Well, I'm impressed.
Hey, Carlo was asking me about the part where Cage is like muttering to the buffalo about, like, oh, I bet you just want to trample me, trample in my head. And, and Carlo saying, like, what the hell was that all about? And I said, I am 98% sure that was the Nick Cage part.
He got beat up by Buffalo back in high school, and this is his revenge.
That's it. That is his character.
He did say that they were going to Colorado territory. Littleton, Colorado territory.
God damn it.
School shooting.
Hey. Remember that, guys? Remember that romp? Back in 1999? Well, wait.
Oh, when this guy was born. Oh, it all makes sense now.
He killed Kennedy.
What's kind of sad about this is that the movie and the book are very much the same. Like, they did not deviate too much from the book.
I'm not terribly surprised by that.
Yeah, the only thing that was kind of changed, because they wanted to give some kind of righteous closure, I guess, to it, was how Fred dies. It's like, he didn't die in the book. He was alive.
Oh.
And the three of them made it back to the town and found the town. Okay. Yeah, they found the town mostly empty, but the people that were there, it was kind of like the people that were there were new faces, new people, new businesses, but all their familiar businesses were still gone. And the guy that was
gonna, when I go to town.
Yeah. It's like the guy that was originally gonna buy all the furs and such, he was living in an abandoned building, and he was just like, I'm ruined, that tells you ruined. Inflation kills my market. Ooh.
Okay. But it's still basically trying to set him up, like Fred up, that like he's the villain, and he is an asshole, but really he's most of the time he's just talking sense and like, hey, maybe we could go back now.
Well, that's like in survival-based horror movies where the pragmatist is always the villain. You know, it's like, well, we don't want to live and be dirty like you. We want to live with honor. Fuck you, practical guy. I hate
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's like...
C-cube to hypercube.
Hey, maybe we can go back, get a lot of money for these buffalo hides, and, you know, survive. And Cage and the kid, Cage is like, no, we got to kill more buffalo. Or excuse me, more buff. And then the kid is like, yeah, what he said. Let's do that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't know why I talk like dying, this now.
It probably that sounds like the more mature version, you know.
Yeah.
Because just killing him off, it's like, look, guys, bad man died. Yay.
Yeah, and I mean, the novel is still very much in that same vein, because this was done in kind of the, what do you call it? It's when they tried doing the more harsher realism.
Yeah, this is a guy named John Edward Williams from Texas, who was a professor and an author. And he's one of those assholes who only writes a book once every 10 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know.
Life is so real, you guys. You don't know. You damn kids always think there's something to see.
Yeah, and I don't know. I hate shit like that personally. It's like some things can actually get it across while still being interesting and entertaining. But then you also get things like The Road, where it just becomes depressing and just boring.
So I think that this should have been written by Paul Williams.
So that there'd be songs.
Yes. Good ones.
I was thinking Paul Verhoeven, but yeah, we can go there.
All right.
Hey, I saw Flesh and Blood. Yeah, that'd be fine, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Say, why not?
Yeah, somebody named Paul Stanley, you know.
So instead of surviving and having made the right decision for $60 a month rather than a whole lot of nothing, Fred came awfully close to shitting himself to death.
Yeah, I guess we get the whole thing. It's like, well, we got the guy who likes sex, then we got the old guy who likes Jesus. Are they in a conflict or what? So old True Jesus story. Guy is like, Jesus told me to poison you because you're bad. See, Jesus said I'm good, but you was bad. Too bad for you.
To be fair, I honestly believe that was how the West was. Somebody thinking they were poisoned because they got mud butt. it couldn't be what I ate because I got the stomach of a buff. But damn, I'm shitting myself to death.
Well, apparently canning by the mid-19th century was like done really well. Like they've had cans from back then that they've opened. And while the stuff did eventually turn to mush, there was no bacteria present at all.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was, they could viably, you know, like store and mass produce food, you know, but then you get assholes who are just like, I'm gonna live off the land. This thing's got worms in its brain. That just adds flavor.
Yeah. Mm, protein.
Can we eat something else other than buff? Please.
Well, we could have some more buff testicles. Them's different.
I can put some sauce on the buffalo, but that's about it.
You know, the sad part is that there was a golden corral right at the next exit. Instead of been eating it the whole time.
There was some Panda Express back there by that McDonald's.
You should have said something before we left.
Y'all ever been to a Waffle House? Those places are crazy.
Linda, I do believe we came very close to some of your little favorite segment.
I want his clothes off. Clothes off.
But he's soft.
But he's got that bald head. I do think that he ended up almost looking with the hood up. He almost started looking like he did in Wicker Man with the bear costume.
The bear suit.
That was pretty amazing. But
if he had just punched Sister Beach in this one, it would have saved it.
Yeah.
That would have been great if she just showed up. And he stops talking at the campfire and kicks her.
Lily Sobieski is just like, hey, y'all, I need some water. I'm really thirsty.
God, I really want to believe she just randomly shows up at his sets, still dressed in character, and he has to fight her. Like Peter Griffin and the chicken.
We got some unfinished business, you and I.
Yeah, it's really awkward. We have to keep editing this out of all of his films.
It's just like Bruce Lee that time on Fist of Fury.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. But
we have fun.
No, like in the beginning, well, ish, when he was with
Genesis?
When it looked like he was about to get some, and they never
near pussy experience.
They never explain why he leaves her with blue ovaries.
Because he just remembered that his dad's religious and dad said never have sex ever.
Well, not only that, like Nicolas Cage brings up, you know, beaver pelts are done.
He didn't want to be out of style.
Well, yeah. She was talking about how he was young and still soft. So, you know, maybe.
Why'd you have to say soft? Why'd you have to say
I was almost there, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, maybe if you weren't a whore, I'd be hard.
I'm from Harvard. I don't deserve this.
I bet you got buffalo lice down there.
Yeah, my penis is an intellectual. It only gets aroused from knowledge.
Yeah, at Harvard, nobody comes. We all arrive.
I bet yeah, the golden ticket ruins the taste of the chocolate anyway.
It does if you stick it as you will.
But I was expecting at least some booby there, and there were plenty of opportunities to see ass, but there was no nudity whatsoever.
I mean, it's an R anyway, isn't it? Wasn't it full of fuck words and shit?
Yeah, but I think IMDb said that like it had the rating for nudity and sex, but there was no nudity.
IMDb doesn't always know what it's talking about. We know this by now.
That's true.
Like there'd be some trivia in there. It's like, did you know the Tombstone was also a Western too, and it got made and it was a movie? I know it's eerie how this coincidence has happened. And one time Nicolas Cage was in another movie and somebody else rode a horse in that movie too.
Yeah, basically, that's it.
That's the level we're on now with IMDb.
Yeah, like that one, what was it?
The one who says a fictional.
The plan? Where everything was like, this isn't trivia. This is just like some dumb thing you thought of. Like,
Did you also consider when, when Andrews came across Fred grunting in the woods that he was actually pulling his rope and he wasn't taking his shit?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. No, it had nothing to do with what he ate. He just really needed to wank a lot because he remembered he wasn't in New Orleans with whores.
I mean, they've been gone for a long time with just men and buffalo.
I brought along a straw lady. She might be made of straw, but she keeps you warm.
That's what this movie needed.
Jesus approves of this one. We're married in our hearts, though.
There's that part early on where they do find some women out there on the trail. What with that starving lady and her kid who tried to shoot him?
Yeah.
Oh, she was thirsty. She's mighty thirsty.
I've got a powerful thirst. Any of you men know what I'm talking about?
Wait. I thirst for Jesus.
But God only looks out for those who aren't foolhardy.
Yeah. Saying this will never come back on me.
Jesus Christ. You're all doomed.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not a
so
death curse.
Fred realizes that that Xander Berkeley is trying to kill him, and so he beats the living shit out of him.
He does.
And then Nick Cage comes up to him and puts his rifle against his throat. And I was like, I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better.
I don't want to meet Jesus yet.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Nicolas Cage, is he dead? No, but this ought to do it.
That still made me laugh. It's like, oh, is there going to be a fight? Like, are they just going to do like, this guy's gone crazy and they're going to fight and kill each other? No, they just did he tried to kill me with the wolf poison. You got to take my word for it. It's like, oh, okay, that checks out. It's like, let's load up the wagon.
He would do that, am I right?
Well, I think he was like, if I didn't need you to get home, and if I just didn't need you in general, if I didn't love you so much, if I could quit you.
This really was one step away from becoming Cannibal the Musical.
Actually,
I kept expecting that, too.
It made me think of another much better regional period horror movie from 1983 called Eyes of Fire, which is shot during the 1750s. It's like on the East Coast. And it's like takes place during the French Indian War. And these people who've been persecuted for witchcraft wind up trapped in this valley by supernatural forces that put people and sink their fucking souls into trees. So the trees have people faces.
I actually had a nightmare about that before. That's funny.
It is funny and awesome. Huh.
But it also had Alan Cummings in it, so.
Well, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to. I mean, was he in that?
I mean, probably not. No. Yeah.
Well, anywho.
Speaking of horrific things, I found some rather fun things people had to say about these movies.
Oh, God.
Other people have things to say?
Let's go to the Brain Trust and hear how much what people thought. Yeah.
Well, surprisingly, one of my favorite reviews was somebody actually discussed what the hell the movie was about before they decided to lay out what they thought of the movie.
They didn't give the name and address of the person who filmed to watch it or blame their kid?
No, sadly. That will never happen again, and that makes me so pissed.
I mean, we could do it.
Yeah, but it's not
Don't
real.
Dox me, though.
It's not the same.
Don't dox me, bro.
Linda. She done it. She brought the birds here.
Will Andrews quits Harvard and travels to Kansas in 1874. He meets up with a man named McDonald, who is acquainted with his father. McDonald is too busy for Will, who wants to go on a buffalo hunt to see our country. Our country, they specifically say. At the saloon, he finds Miller, who is a buffalo hunter. Will asks to come along, but the local herds are too thin. He knows where there is a great herd in Indian country in Colorado. He needs money for the trip, which is about all Will happens to have. He hires a skinner and a camp man, and they set out in late fall, a bad time to go so close to winter. This is a Nicolas Cage film I will soon forget. It was all about the futility of hunting buffalo, as we see by the ending. There is not a lot of action, and it is mostly men talking, and the dialogue and actors couldn't carry the film. That's all they had to say about their thoughts on that.
That was it.
Men talking.
Men talking.
Yeah, it's a movie.
There's talking, and then there's the not talking and footage they bought of nature, and they just kind of edited in.
Men talking and men shitting.
It's like a sequel to Cry
Wolf.
Why, I can
make a whole movie out of this stock
footage. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Wood, for making us laugh about love again.
Why don't we?
You know, I mean,
if
anything we shot and put in this would match just about as well.
True.
It really would. I had to include this review because it's written by an elderly.
Ooh.
The worst movie I have ever seen in 60 years.
Whoa. We got to respect him or her.
Oh, it's a her. The absolute worst movie ever. I saw Western and thought, oh, yeah. and followed it up by paying $20 to rent this ridiculously disgusting, stupid, bad plot and wrong actor choices movie. I would rather have had an ingrown toenail pulled by a gorilla than watch this garbage.
Why couldn't this have been all good, like Young Guns 2? Or How the West
Was Fun. I like
that
fun. Emilio Estevez.
I like that Lou Diamond Phillips fella.
I assured my husband it will be great. He did Con Air. Not all his movies are awful. This was undeniably a waste of time and money, not to mention awful.
My husband made me sleep in the doghouse.
Con Air.
Yeah, he did the Con Air. That was good.
This is like the number one rule of these reviews, by the way. They're like, oh, if only it could have been good like Con Air or Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah. Gone in 60 Seconds
are hard
was
like
so
the Rock.
Good. They don't even go to The Rock. They go to Con Air every time.
Oh, God.
Oh, God damn.
The Criterion Collection Classic. Con Air.
Con Air, the movie that killed Don Simpson.
Jesus.
It had that Malkovich fella. He's legit, right?
From that Jewel Thief movie.
This was undeniably a waste of time and money, not to mention awful. I should have gone outside to clean up dog poop instead. Why, you ask? Why is this so bad? The portrayal of cowboys being so stupid as to get stuck in a blizzard for up to 8 months with only one way out. Seasoned cowboys would have known better. Nicolas Cage pretending to be a tough guy is the equivalent of Pee-wee Herman being a tough guy.
What the hell?
Neither are believable, and you lose respect for the actor, producer, and director.
Who had respect
for
them?
Slow, it was slow and boring. The rest is in caps lock for an old person. That's just respectful. Do not waste your time, money, or brain cells on this garbage. Go shovel dog poop. Far more productive.
You know, I didn't think that it was amazing. I didn't love it, but I have to disagree on like the actor, the choices of actors. I thought they did a great job. I mean, they're not going to win any fucking awards, but
Linda, he did Con Air.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. This is no Con Air.
I get the feeling that the people who wrote these reviews, they were the ones who probably liked the old way. They're like, oh, this is what a Western should be, guys. It's just like Last Stand at Saber River. Like,
it's got Clint Howard.
And that's what's even funnier, because like Linda mentioned a couple episodes back, too, chronologically, this came before the new way.
Oh.
Or the old way, rather. So it's like that was a real step down from this to that.
So they just shelved this, and Cage is like, well, I got to get some kind of Western out. What else you got?
Yeah. Yeah, which is why I know Linda brought it up before, thankfully, about why this screwed up our chronological order of his films. It's because this film was in very, very limited release. And that's kind of sad, because that should have gotten a wider release versus the old way.
Yeah, the old way shouldn't have been released.
It was a step above. Yeah, it should have just gone another way. Ba-dum-bum. And I'm going to read a paragraph of this review. And be thankful, because this carries on for a lot longer than a paragraph.
Uh-oh.
This movie is so bad, I would have liked Nicolas Cage to shoot me instead of the buffalo. On the other hand, I wouldn't have minded to be killed by a buffalo watching this movie. I don't want to write anything else about this movie, so I will copy-paste. This movie is so bad, I would have liked Nicolas Cage to shoot me instead of the buffalo. On the other hand, I would have not minded being killed by buffalo watching this movie. I don't have much to write anything else about this movie, so I'll copy and paste. This movie is so bad, I would have liked Nicolas Cage to shoot me instead of the buffalo.
Oh!
Why?
And it goes on and on and on.
I bet that guy, like, all his friends think he's a real cut-up, you know, and everybody's always telling him that he's really clever.
It's like, we just gotta keep laughing and shaking our heads, like, oh, that's just old Willie. And Willie's just like, I'm so clever. They just got served.
Burn.
I bet those filmmakers are gonna feel awfully silly when they read that review.
Yeah, he's like that person that goes into restaurants and go, you know, I write Reddit, and I also do reviews on Yelp.
So I would like the birthday ice cream and song, even though it's not actually my birthday.
Yes, I know it says for children, but I, sir, am a child at heart.
Oh, wouldn't want anything bad to happen to this restaurant.
Those fucking Yelp reviews of like... They didn't give me free breadsticks. They didn't welcome me when I walked in.
They didn't actually lift my daughter over the toilet like she likes and squeeze the shit directly out of her. How dare they? They didn't wipe with just one finger like we asked.
I'll never be coming back here.
I think it smells
worst
pee.
Back alley glory hole ever.
You gotta dress that thing up a little. Where's the graffiti to let me know what this is for?
Yeah, there was no duct tape on this hole. I'm not putting my junk through that.
Sure, you don't want me to get the city inspector in here.
I don't know about you guys, but I saw an old man going back there.
I was sure it was Pamela Anderson sucking me off until I saw that.
Until I saw it was goddamn Xander Berkeley.
Oh, Xander Berkeley's got that stump. Oh, my, my, my. Next level fisting there.
Hands just get in the way. Thank you. You do know my favorite sound is squelching. So, do you feel like we're ready to add to this somehow?
Oh, are you saying it's time for
sequel?
Sequel.
Return?
Return.
More.
More.
Less?
Oh, harder. Softer.
Softer. Linda said that she had one prepared.
All right.
Yeah, where is it?
In 1860, an estimated 60 million bison roamed the American West. Here we are, two decades later, and the bison population plunged to fewer than 300. And we plan to fuck them all. Buffuckers.
Oh my. This summer, go in the buff.
Yeah, that's it. Buffuckers.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Get it in ya.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
This summer. Experience oh, Buffalo like you've never seen before.
Well,
in IMAX and Dolby Surround.
And IMAX is black and white.
Hey,
what?
Well, we employ those inside the vagina cameras. They're going in the buff.
Is this one of those feel-a-rama pictures?
Oh, hell yeah.
What's this lipstick on your collar?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I, too, had a sequel return.
It's also no smell-o-vision, way. Too.
Oh, God.
After going off the reservation, Miller retreats to a quiet life in the woods, surviving off rodents and hobos. But his peaceful exile is soon disrupted as news of Will Andrews' death reaches him via his only friend, a wolf that steals newspapers, who he affectionately calls Newsy. Hearing God of the vicious murder, he heads into town and asks for details, only to find the town living in a constant state of fear. People are scared to leave their homes and shops, whispering about the Buffalo Butchers. A rogue tribe of Native Americans who have taken to wiping out towns known for buffalo hunting.
Shit, yeah.
Miller arms himself and readies for a fight he can't possibly win on his own. But thankfully, there are men wild and crazy enough and lonely enough to join him and Newsy in protecting the town and its people. However, terror lurks not only on the ground, but in the sky. It's soon revealed the rogue tribe of Native Americans is not the true Buffalo Butchers, but instead the remains of a tribe nearly destroyed by an enemy that remains shrouded, hidden in the trees. The same enemy that has made sport of hunting the townspeople
yes.
and their strongest buffalo killers.
They got over this going.
The Predator.
Yes!
It's the war to end all wars. No matter who wins, we lose. Roland Emmerich presents Predator Goes West, an American Tragedy.
Versus the audience. RR.
Starring Feifel. Moskowitz.
There are no buffalo in America.
And ate them all.
Buffalo Hunter Hunters.
Please, Adrian, share with the group.
Original the character, the main character, tries to settle down after the terrible things he's seen and make babies with Hooker Lady. But eventually, he decides to take the little woman home to show Dad. But that's when the tables are turned, as Nicolas Cage soon learns that made the character, he's gone mad because his father was murdered by a train. And now he's on a quest to annihilate all the trains as they race across the West. Can Nicolas Cage help Maine the character save his soul on his mad quest for bloody vengeance, slaughtering conductors and cutting them in two, rerouting tracks so they fall off of canyons? Can he? Butcher's Railroad Crossing.
Can he?
Wow. See, since mine has a smell-o-vision, you can say, wow, I thought they smelled bad on the outside. I had another version of it's just I don't know if it's a sequel or if it's a reboot.
Well, you got to get French Stewart in there as the Cage character.
Obviously. But I wanted to see at the end when they're like, he's going crazy. And he gets really into the method acting and he sets fire to McDonald's and he tramples old McDonald with his horse. And he kind of like he pulls his horse up to the kid and stops, and I so badly wanted him to reach his hand out for him and for the kid to jump on the horse with him.
Yeah.
And then they go off, like, right off into the sunset, or no, I guess no, the sunrise.
You just do the ending of the Wraith. They turn into a spark that flies up into the sky.
Come with me. We'll kill all the buffalo across this beautiful world.
I love you. I love you more than I love killing buffalo.
And I would do anything for love.
Oh, moving right along, digga-digga-digga-digga.
They don't look like in Presbyterians to me.
Buffs crossing.
God damn it.
I want his face off. Face off.
Oh, God.
Assuming that woman was correct and... That all the actors were shit. How would y'all recast this?
Oh yeah, well, I'd Nicolas the Cage, I'd have Robert Duvall.
Naturally.
For a wide eyed kid, there I'd have a young Robert Redford. You know, for the guy with his hand off there, you know, who's into Jesus, I do John Carradine.
On his hand off. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And who for the horny guy? Oh God. Yeah, there's a good choice in there.
Fred.
No. You do Donald Pleasance doing an American accent, because he could do that sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Then you bring in freaking Louise Fletcher as the lady who just wanted a drink, and for McDonald, that's where you get your Charles Durning. Then you know you get Gordon Willis to photograph it, you know, and then you get a real screenplay by like a writer like William Goldman or somebody. And then you hire a director like Arthur Penn, you know, all those things they didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, I don't know, get some kind of music on there, but Michael Small.
Not have the director also be the screenwriter, also be the makeup artist. And
that would all be fine if the guy had ever done any of those before.
Yeah. Donnie?
I actually tried to be a little serious with this one because I really thought there was a potential if this had good or better actors. So for Fred Snyder, I went Josh Brolin. With Will Andrews, I went Alden Ehrenreich. Okay. And
Charlie Hogue are replaced with Woody Harrelson. And Miller is John Goodman. Because I could have believed him being a hardened, gruff woodsman hunter person.
For mine, I would say for Miller, I am going to go with the obvious, getting back to my roots with the Goots.
All right.
Steve Guttenberg, obviously. Well, of course. Because I want to sex it up a little, too.
Naturally.
And to sex it up just a little bit more, as Will, I'm going to have Wallace Shawn.
Naturally.
Yeah, I was going to say naturally. I mean, I hate to go obvious with it.
I want to see our country.
Yeah. I want to see the world. And Fred Schneider, I'm going to go with another obvious choice. I'm going to say Sasha Gray. Old MacDonald could be Donald Sutherland. And for Charlie, the one-arm wonder or one-hand wonder, I'm going to have to go with Bruce Stern.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, nice. Why not make it even more sexy? And sex worker, Francine.
Oh, Francine, I forgot about her.
Is Focus Crossing. Francine's Crossing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be Anne Margaret.
Ooh.
Current day.
Anne Margaret any day.
Oh.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You're still young and soft. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We watch them so you don't have to, folks.
You're welcome. It's a service we provide.
It's a service.
Pray for death.
Were you all able to find any cagey wisdom? I was.
Oh, well, let's hear yours.
Mine isn't something that I learned, but something that I've always, I've known for most of my life, and I feel like it was the underlining lesson of this movie that I think everyone should know. It's that you have to be very, very safe when you're going up or down a hill and you're top heavy. Public service announcement. You're welcome.
You gotta know when to say when about that buff.
I think the wisdom I take away from this is we needed to finish our job and kill the rest of the buffalo. We only half-assed.
Yeah, no, that's what makes the American nation incomplete.
What have buffalo done for us?
What have they ever done for us? Yeah. Trying to take our jobs, those buffalo.
Built the aqueducts? Buffalo! We can be buffalo hunters!
You can still put them on a nickel when they're dead. It doesn't matter.
Well, you know us. We've never been afraid of offending the Native Americans.
I love though, the end text crawl talking about how great the Native Americans are with their preservation program, and the movie's like, oh look, Native Americans killed this guy. We're not gonna show any though. Don't want them having lines or nothing. You know.
Yeah. What up with that? You know, I mean, like
they barely wanted to give women lines.
That's true. I was just like, what the hell? I mean, you're gonna say like, oh, not only did they kill that one guy, but they full on castrated him.
Yeah,
and left his balls in his hand.
Yeah,
which I thought was pretty.
That's how I wanted to go.
Yeah. I just gained a lot of respect for them. I was like, that's fucking awesome. I want to be a buffalo hunter. But yeah.
In theory, they went into, quote, Indian country and somehow didn't see any.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, well, this is, like, foreshadowy as hell. So when are they going to encounter these buffalo hunters? But it never happens. There's not one Indian. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You'd think he could have at least...
There's fewer Indians than there are
buffalo. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's a switcheroo.
Oh, I get it.
It's the end of the last episode of MASH. It wasn't a chicken. It was a baby.
I get it now. It's not about buffalo at all. Fuck.
It's about how Jesus is the only savior we have in this world.
They were eating people testicles.
What?
Yeah.
Buffalo is people.
They're like Daleks, you know, like the little furry submarines. You know, you get two guys in there, they kind of just drive them, you know.
Furry submarines.
So I
let's build a snowman.
We can make him our best friend.
We can make him not so tall.
Buffalo.
So My heart's as fresh as a baked potato.
Now's the time to say please, please, please listen to, follow, rate, and review Cage's Kiss on Apple Podcasts, and check out our stuff on YouTube. Also, check out our Patreon. We don't do the Patreon anymore. Never mind. Remember, you can find us on... we don't really do that anymore either.
Just start Googling us, you lazy bastards. You have to be fed everything? Fuck.
I mean, I used to be really active on social medias, but...
But then MySpace closed.
Yeah, exactly. And LiveJournal is not really a thing anymore, apparently.
Which is a shame.
So just here we are. Our
past episodes, and you know, do it in backward order, you know, and see when we used to be saner
and sometimes way drunker.
Funnier, I don't know.
One of my good work friends was listening. It decided that he would listen to a couple of our episodes, and he told me that he listened to our first, and I was like, no, don't do that. Oh Jesus.
You started racing with the moon or nothing.
Yeah. Red Rock West or bust.
Rusty James.
So you can check out my other podcast about witches and history and stories of all measure. Bedknobs and Broomflicks, spelled Broomflicks. You know we're enjoyable because we got them licks at the end. Adrian, where can the people find you?
Oh, I'm still on the deviantart.com as Leo the Fox. And
bless your little heart.
I got a fuckload of stories going on there, including my new series in which Ted Bundy is a hero in the Old West.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
this is real. Did a lot of research.
He hunt buffalo?
No, there's no buffalo. It takes place here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's all accurate 100% to the actual locations as far as I could establish it.
I see.
And all the dates are the same. You just subtract 150 years.
Okay.
I did that thing. I don't apologize.
We're not in the West. We're on the East Coast.
Oh, you don't want people finding us. I see. Well, you said contemplate times. Hell. Just can't have people finding us.
I mean, like, all those poor people who have thought, like, well, maybe I should listen to this Cage podcast. He was in Con Air. Like, how bad can it be?
We clearly should have called the podcast Con Air in 60 seconds.
Yeah. Then people would have found
it. So, John, where can the people find you? You still at Arby's?
Well, yeah, but I now found the remains of a real doll that someone threw out. No, it's a real doll. Their name is Blansky, and they're missing some parts because somebody apparently got mad and hacked them with an axe. Oh. So it looks kind of weird, but, you know, I'd rather have something that was a little used and worn than something brand new, so don't judge her. Otherwise, you can find me still on Pornhub as the boy who blew, and I'm still Unreal Goals on the Twitter, which still exists. I'm not going to call it X because X not going to give it to you. And yeah, I still do reviews for our Cage's Kiss website, so look for that shit in the future.
This Ms. Blansky is my wife.
God damn.
Why ain't you gave her a menu?
She feels much better than them buffalo.
Well, I mean, buffaloes is more tender.
More cush for the push.
More buff for this nub.
Buffalo's much more warm.
God damn it.
I suppose we'll be back with you soon with our next episode of Cage's Kiss when we actually cover Sympathy for the Devil.
And I guess we should also tell people that there's light at the end of the tunnel coming for us. You know, Nick Cage now, he's only got 3 or 4 movies left in him.
And this one is the third.
You know, he couldn't just go gracefully and take smaller parts. He had to do this to us.
You want those small parts?
You know, listen, he's doing okay now, all right? This wife has lasted about a year. He's
oh,
doing
my God.
Good. Life is good.
That's
for him
forever
right now.
In Nicolas Cage wife years.
Yeah, we have 3 more movies to cover. We're still kept in our job.
Yeah. Enjoy us before we're gone.
Yeah. He could have retired on Pig and it would have been fine.
Join us before we're gone, just like the buffs.
Honestly, Adrian, and I do mean this, the way streaming services work, we might be left with Pig and all the others might just go away forever.
Yeah, that's true too. Oh, you paid us money? Fuck you. Way, we're streaming services. Oh, you don't want to watch that stuff you want to watch. We made this show. Yeah, it cost $1 trillion and it's based on this book series you didn't read. Why aren't you watching it? We're going to advertise it relentlessly. Fucking watch the show. It's got that guy.
So I guess until next week, Linda killed a kid.
And Donnie shot all the buffalo.
I turned around on you. I did, and I ate their balls.
But not me.
Oh,
I like to watch you. I like to watch.
I wondered why you were watching me eat those balls.
Yeah. Get them all in your mouth. Get them all in there.
Why haven't you checked the children?
Did you do the fluffy bunny bit with both the balls?
Fluffy runner.
And we are gone.
Cage. 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 Peach. I could eat a peach for hours. Please.